Southern humidity temperatures wreak havoc on guitar strings. Good morning. Today we begin part four in a six-part series on spiritual paths. And we have completed introductory sessions on the first three spiritual paths, major spiritual paths, the path of the heart or bhakti yoga, the path of the mind or jnana yoga, and the path of evolutionary action or karma yoga. And we have tried to blend traditions east and west in terms of these spiritual paths, recognizing that all of us have a particular constitutional personality type. And most of us, if we get to the point where we really want to do a daily discipline with spirituality, we'll follow one path usually. We'll follow one path because each path is so elaborate, each path demands so much attention that it takes many years to truly give each of them their due. However, depending upon different points of our lives, we might focus on another path. Circumstance in our life, spiritual circumstance often, crisis, loss, awakening at different levels in our being, what have you. Growth changes that are intense, changes of life, will sometimes usher us into focusing on another spiritual path. And we'll come back around usually to one. It is very rare that one individual will actually be living all of the paths at the same time. And these masters who've lived all the paths at the same time are the great masters, like Jesus, for instance, and Buddha, and Krishna, Muhammad, Rumi, Kabir, Zoroaster, etc., okay? Moses. These individuals usually contain, at a very, very intense and comprehensive level, all of the spiritual paths, usually because they are so highly spiritually evolved that they are using them all, okay? But for most of us, we will use one or more of the spiritual paths and emphasize one. Okay. Today, I would like to speak of the spiritual path number four. The path of spiritual power, or the path of the will. This is a particular path which has very basics and essentials for the beginner. And we will see that the parts of the 12-step program correspond right into this path, as well as more advanced and intense comprehensive aspects to this path. And of course, this only provides today, and these Sundays only are meant to provide an introduction, a kind of smorgasbord for you, so that each of you can look at these spiritual paths and say, well, which one am I really meant to go on? Which one am I really attracted to? And there's another side to this whole notion of attraction. Which path do I need to go on? Sometimes, too, it's not more of what we're attracted to, but some of the deep down inside we feel we need to be attracted to this path. This is the path of that today that I want to speak of is the path of spiritual power, or the path of the will, often misunderstood in our daily discourse. I would like to begin with a quote by Sogyal Rinpoche, who has written a wonderful book that the New York Times Book Review and Los Angeles Times have hailed as a spiritual classic, called The Tibetan Book of Living and Dying. And in this particular spiritual passage, he quotes Rumi, which actually we use as someone who is promoting the bhakti, or someone who promoted the path of the heart, or bhakti path, the path of feeling, or the path of love. But in this particular quote of Rumi's, it certainly talks about the path of spiritual power, or the path of the warrior. In the Sufi master Rumi's table talk, there is fierce and pointed passage. Sogyal Rinpoche writes, "The master said, there is one thing in this world which must never be forgotten. If you were to forget everything else, but were not to forget this, there would be no cause to worry. While if you remembered, performed, and attended to everything else, but forgot this one thing, you would in fact have done nothing whatsoever. It is as if a king had sent you to a country to carry out one special, specific task. You go to the country and you perform 100 other tasks, but it is as if you have performed nothing at all, because you have not performed the task you were sent for. So every man and every woman has come into this world for a particular task, and that is his or her purpose. If he or she does not perform it, he or she will have done nothing. All the spiritual teachers of humanity have told us the same thing, that the purpose of life on earth is to achieve union with our fundamental enlightened nature. The task for which the King has sent us into this strange dark country is to realize and embody our true being. There is only one way to do this, and that is to undertake the spiritual journey with all the ardor and intelligence, courage and resolve for transformation that we can muster. A very, very powerful passage from the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying by Sogyal Rinpoche. Yes. I think if I understand your question is, what's the difference between typical institutionalized religion and the spiritual journey or the spiritual path?
Well, no, just that in religion there is a sense that we are not able to achieve what the priests or whatever.
Well, not necessarily. It depends upon different levels of religion. Some levels of religion, the most superficial, will not be empowering. Will not be empowering of our inner nature. But more deeper levels of all the world religions have a mystical quality and a mystical element whereby the teachers are guides, and their one issue is to empower the God within ourselves. And I hope that that answers a bit of your question. We have to move on now. But if you wish to ask me a question after this service, please come in and I'll try to help you. So, but it's a very good question, and that's the distinction between most of the spiritual journey, which follows a guru blindly or follows a spiritual path blindly, guidelines out there, where one doesn't do any internal kind of questioning work on one's own. It's very important that eventually on the spiritual path, if we're growing, that we become empowered within and we meet our inner teacher, if you will. As Jesus spoke, the God within, the kingdom of heaven is within. And the inner teacher really has the message. But our journey will be increased, if you will. The speed of our journey will be increased, and it will be a lot safer if we follow spiritual paths. Because these spiritual paths have been marked out for us for centuries. For centuries. I think the problem that we are having today, we get in discussions between religion and spirituality, is much of religion has really been degenerative in this century. Many religious teachers just simply don't know about the spiritual paths and haven't gone on those spiritual paths themselves, and so talk a whole lot about blind faith or belief and not really about knowledge and practice in the way. But all of the religions have within themselves an incredibly deep spiritual wisdom, a technology, and what I would call psycho-spiritual engineering. And we need to get back into those traditions. And they're very, very self-empowered. But at the same time, we always need teachers. always need outer teachers, I believe, until we are at a certain point of awakening. But even then, I mean, as I grow in the spiritual path, I find that I have more teachers. I have more teachers who guide me, not control me, but guide me along the path. Okay. That's a very, very good question that you ask. Today, the path of spiritual power. Each has a yoga, which we've been talking about the different yogas. This would be Laya Yoga, which isn't talked about a lot in the West because there aren't a lot of teachers around. But Laya Yoga, Laya in the Sanskrit means to dissolve the ego boundaries. It means dissolution, transformation. It actually means surrender, really, of the ego self into the higher self. Does that make sense? And for that to happen, the boundaries of the ego have to break. So the actual literal word is breaking. Breaking of boundaries. And this is this particular path. Now, as you are with me and moving through this path, just, if you can, just kind of resonate with it and remain open. If parts of it may speak to you, other parts may not. Because not all of you are meant for this path, especially the more advanced levels of this, because your nature is really not meant for it. But I think it's important to talk about the spiritual paths and to lay them out before you so that you, those of you who are really wanting to go on a spiritual path with comprehensive intensity will know which path you need and which guides you perhaps may need, or religion, or if there will be a religion that you need that, to help you on this path. The role of the willing function is important here. The willing function of the mind plays a key role on the path of spiritual power. According to Aristotelian metaphysics, the will is at the core of the rational appetite, which gives beings the capacity to desire more than just food and sex, or what is pleasurable, or what is not painful. It is a fundamentally positive characteristic of the human will to desire and channel one's appetite to what is ultimately good, with a capital G. When the 12-step program talks of self-will run riot, it is speaking of the opposite of what I'm talking about. Self-will run riot is speaking to the tragedy and misfortune of a will that is no longer intending the ultimate good, but the more immediate good of satisfying the immediate needs of the lower self, that is the survivor, ego-gratifying, avoiding pain-seeking pleasure self. So that's why the 12 steps is so powerful as a spiritual path. Because one could actually take all of these paths and will find an ingredient in the 12 steps. In the subtle beginnings of the willing function, there is yet no choice but the powerful seeds of action called intention, or better, intending. I know that there's a saying that the road to hell was paved with good intention, but better, the road to heaven. If you were to have one, the essence of the internal willing work of spiritual power, it is intending the good. That the road to heaven is paved with intention. In fact, every action that takes place after an intention, although often that intention is unconscious. Are you with me? So the whole point of awakening and awareness on the spiritual path is to become aware of the subtle mechanism beneath what we are often conscious of. So every action that takes place, before that action takes place, we intend. We intend it to take place. Now that is a powerful truth. Because oftentimes we get into these jams and these messes and we become victims, right? And we go, oh, no, what happened? Well, the whole bottom line is, if we were conscious of who we were and what place we were in and how we were feeling and what we were thinking and how we were behaving, we would recognize that intending is always taking place, or a lack of intending. Are you with me? So, intending, if you will, my own immediate good, I'm going to be a victimizer. If I intend my own immediate good, the gratifying of my self-will, I will probably be a victimizer of a lot of people because I will be manipulating others to get my good. On the other hand, if I'm not intending at all, if I'm not willing at all the good, I'm going to be a victim. I'm not going to be in touch with my spiritual power that needs to intend the ultimate good, that needs to protect and care for myself and for others. Does that make sense? So, you know, on one end of the spectrum is the victim, is the victimizer who wills one's own ego-gratifying good, and the other is the victim who doesn't even understand that they have intending power at all. So they never even enter the first basic science, if you will, of the spiritual path of power, which is learning that we have the power to intend the ultimate good. And that is what makes us different, sometimes worse, sometimes better than animals. Why? Because animals bless their hearts and really intend only what their nature is. There's a kind of software and a hardware within their psyches that, you know, that's why we love animals so much, because, you know, they intend a whole lot, but it's always predictable. And it always is according to their nature and the laws of nature. Human nature, on the other hand, can intend the ultimate good or the selfish good, the immediate good. Now, this can be a powerful thing, or it can be, a powerful thing in terms of spiritual power, or it can be lower self power. And that's why we get into big, big messes in our life. I have spoken a lot about this in my lecture series on the universal laws. One of the important laws of nature is that whatever I put my attention on grows more lively in my life. Remember this metaphysical law. It is a law of nature. Whatever I put my attention on grows more lively in my life. To attend or intend are very closely related and function at the threshold of all growth and creation. The possibility of human beings being freer than any other forms of visible creation lies here in this truth, that we are free to intend what we want. There is so much spiritual power even in this single truth. The path of spiritual empowerment begins here with engaging some of the basic laws of nature through intending, and also establishing harmonious rapport with nature. Okay? Intending, but also establishing a harmonious rapport with nature. To know when to allow nature to follow its own course. What we are talking about here is the most basic and simple action on the path to spiritual empowerment. This is not forced growth, but spiritually natural. The 12-step program speaks to this path, especially in the notion of self-surrender. However, I believe that not enough attention has been placed on the subtle and scientific aspects of this process of surrender. That is, intending the ultimate good, but also establishing a rapport with the ultimate good, who is God. So knowing when and where to surrender. Well, that's the Serenity Prayer, isn't it? Within the Serenity Prayer, there's a lot of psycho-spiritual engineering and science. It has to do with the interplay between intending the ultimate good and putting our thoughts to this activity, and knowing when to let go with the trust that the universe will provide all that is necessary for us. Isn't that wonderful, huh? So the Serenity Prayer does contain the seeds of spiritual empowerment. But I think what a lot of us do is, well, I turn it over to my higher power. And then we forget. We don't spend time with the energetic thought, mindfulness of intending the ultimate good and co-creating our path. By taking the responsibility to say, I intend this action. Whoa. And at the same time, I turn it over to the will of the highest power. And if that is in harmony, then all will be well. You with me? If it blends with the wonder of wholeness, if it blends with wholeness, it will happen. If it doesn't blend with wholeness, it better not happen, because if it does, it'll only be our trouble. And that's when we get into the black arts, if you will, or the dark arts. I'm not talking racial here. I'm talking about the dark art, the dark art, or the shadow art of a really empowered will who doesn't have spirituality. That's the victimizer victim, okay? And that would be more the dark art of the willing. We're talking about the spiritual art of willing. And that becomes much more subtle. Much more subtle. However, there are other ways on this path that one will proceed if he or she continues on the path of spiritual power beyond the basic, this basic exercise that I'm talking about. Just like in the phenomenal world, that's the world of change and the world that we see, where the intending function, as we know, has developed science, engineering, modern technology, right? When this intending function, just think, when this intending function is drawn towards the inner world rather than the outer, which many of the developed spiritual masters of the ages have done, a psycho-spiritual technology is created. And see, a psycho-spiritual technology has already been created by the world religions. It's difficult to access that because there are many on the path who've either misused these technologies or haven't even known they existed. But it's already there. Just as someone who entering a school of technology would want to read about and understand the pioneers, it amazes me that many people who get on the path of spirituality throw away the very seeds of wisdom that are at the core of the world religions. But one has to do a lot of soul searching and finding this stuff because it's hidden under a pile of... Yes. You can fill in the blank. We're talking about a psycho-spiritual technology. We're talking about the science of energetics, the study of energy flows and their imbalances and how to correct them. At this second, more subtle level, we're talking about energy imbalances and getting in touch with those. So it's important how we breathe. It's important how we exercise, what we eat, how we deep breathe and meditate. All of this is about the psychoenergetics or the internal arts. Also, we're talking about the internal martial arts. Now, with the internal martial arts, we're not talking about a kung fu movie. Okay? When I talk about internal martial arts, we're talking about Tai Chi or Aikido, the internal art of Qigong, a particular science of breath circulating using intention, the willing, the breath, and also visualization. These are not only used for defense, these internal martial arts, but primarily they are for the purpose of promoting physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. That is growth and optimum wellness of the entire human organism. Okay? Now, one of the Bibles, if you will, of this approach to spiritual power is the Tao Te Ching, translated meaning the way of power, an ancient Chinese text. Also, for us that are more Christian-oriented, the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius, you know, some of the folks who are in recovery for a while go on an Ignatian retreat and go on the spiritual exercises, that also is using this way of internal empowerment through imaging. Okay? So the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius. Also, I think very powerful is the Shogyam Rinpoche's book on the path of the warrior. It's very basic. If you want a real simple approach to the path of the warrior, this is a wonderful book. I mean, it goes so far as to say, if you want to go the way of the warrior, clean up your room. Make sure your room is cleaned up. Create space in your environment. You know, you have all this stuff that's cluttered. You know, it amazes me. We go on all these yard sales. Right? And the very persons that, like, put stuff out in yard sales a lot go on them.
So they get in this kind of addictive kind of thing, shaking your head, right? So it's important, you know, according to Shogun Rinpoche, the path of the warrior begins in creating space. That is, getting rid of things, getting to the essentials, okay? And having a clean and harmonious environment that mirrors the desired environment within. So we have a lack of clutter. Anyway, but that, I recommend that book very highly. This more developed aspect of the spiritual power path is the path of the spiritual warrior. The spiritual warrior is one who constantly slays the demons. Now, what are the demons? The devil made me do it. No, this is not the demon that we're talking about. You know, always, you know, we're always, the people who never really want to go forward on the spiritual path love blaming the devil. No, we're talking about something a bit more sophisticated, namely that the devil or the devils are within us. And the bottom line is they are obstacles to God. Okay, that's what the demons are. So, you know, all these mystifications and terrible imaginings, you know, they're really about obstacles between myself and wholeness. And what keeps me away from the path of wholeness or from entering into the wonder of wholeness is my ego. Basically, my attention to lesser goods and my addiction to things which reinforce my separate self rather than my universal self. That's what we're talking about. So, the bottom line, if you want to go this path of the spiritual warrior, this is the path that you're going on. You're going on the path which wishes to look at obstacles which get in our way of wholeness. And believe you me, once you sit down, right, and begin becoming aware of all the internal energies and all that stuff at work, that's when the game begins. That's why we need spiritual guides. And they're very important at this path because it's very, very difficult when we begin looking within ourselves because we see the shadow. The shadow knows. And we see all those unacceptable parts of ourselves. We will see the turbulence, if you will, that is created when light and shadow intermingle. Huh? Right? That's when cold and hot intermingle in the atmosphere. What do we get? A storm. And many people just stop on the spiritual path because they have no guides, but they meet their shadow, the turbulence between shadow and light, and they run away or repress and go, okay, next, don't want to do that no more. And that's when the deeper spiritual path actually begins. But beneath the storm of the interplay of shadow and light, beneath hot and cold, is the blissful wonder and experience of awareness and existence of wholeness. But it's important that we have spiritual guides to remind us of that and tell us how we can deal with these obstacles on the way. And certainly, I have teachers who assist me in this particular activity. Thank God. I remember spending years in the monastery and really not having teachers who understood this. So when I would get to this turbulence, I'd stop. Uh-oh, something must be wrong, so we'll forget that and go do something else. I should be doing something wrong. This is a monastery, the oldest monastery, the largest monastery in the world, Western monastery in the world. Spiritual guides and teachers are hard to come by. Okay. As Thomas Hickey writes, the way of the warrior essentially involves confronting one's own mortality and mastering it. Close quote. The successful spiritual warrior faces his or her internal fears and comes to experience that fear. And what is the essential fear? Is it death? Yes, but it's not physical death. And you know, when people, I don't fear death, I don't fear physical death. You haven't even entered the real fear. Physical death is not what the spiritual masters are talking about. It's mastering psychological death. It's mastering the death of the ego. Now that is the ultimate spiritual game in town. And that is the fear. And one who goes on the spiritual path of empowerment, the spiritual path of the warrior, must master the fear of losing and dissolving his or her ego in the Great One. And also, at the same time, learning how to master life. So how do I master life, allowing my ego to be one with the all, and at the same time keep my feet grounded and master the phenomenal world? Now, that's a lifelong path, ain't it? If anything, I hope that these spiritual paths give you some respect. It certainly has given me some respect and reverence for the subtleties of the spiritual way. So the bottom line, and the good news is that fear is really not a part of our true nature. The ultimate goal of the spiritual warrior then, okay, is sheer delight. That ultimate awareness of existence is really what it's all about. Fear dissolves. As the great spiritual warrior Jesus says, love casts out all fear. Another way of saying that is accepting the whole casts out all fear. Going below the turbulence of conflict. Not avoiding the turbulence, but going below the turbulence of conflict ends and dissolves fear. The attitude, I'll tell you, a primary attitude that goes against the path of spiritual power is preservation of the status quo. And especially the religious status quo. Because usually the religious status quo is like the Wendy's of spirituality. True spiritual experience will always go against and challenge the status quo. Why? Because the status quo stays the same. And if you stay the same, you don't change. If you don't change, you die. If you wish fulfillment or spiritual perfection, you must want to change often. And that's the essence of Laya Yoga. To wish to change and transform often. Because the status quo is really about stopping human growth. Let's go back and talk about it. You know, let's have just a language of understanding and communal norms, and let's just keep it this way. I mean, you know. You kind of have to have a dialogue with both, don't you? I mean, one needs conventional wisdom, but at the same time, one has to constantly go within the deepest fields of that wisdom to challenge the status quo. Because the status quo, or the surface wisdom, never likes change. So those of you who are in this recovery path, especially those of you who may have just beached on the shores of Ridgeview, if you happen to be here, or most of you here are with me, have been here a while. But those of you who just beached on the shores of Ridgeview, you don't want to change. That's the last thing you want to do. And your whole strategy, right, is trying to get your own ego gratified and not change according to some rule of, you know, even the 12 steps, right? So it's difficult to really want to change. And that's the help of spiritual guidance, etc., is that we allow ourselves sometimes the obedience with a rule in order to change. And then we begin to see and get empowered with our own initiations of change. If one wishes to unfold one maximum potential, one must be dedicated to change often. This is the key. The ultimate means and end of the Laya Yoga path, or the path of the spiritually empowered. The continual spiritualization of one's energy, the expanding of one's ego self boundaries, to eventually attain at one-ment with the universal self, which is the whole. Yin and yang in harmonious flux. Laya means, as I said before, breaking up, expanding in order to achieve wholeness. The whole point of the psycho-spiritual energetics work is to enliven and strengthen the energy system of the self. Now, this is important, in order to increasingly support deeper levels of wholeness. Okay? The reason why one does energy work, breath work, the reason why one begins to purify one's nervous system by breath work, herbal therapy, by detoxing, is so that our system can support wholeness. Our system, unless it is more purified, cannot support the wholeness toward which we are meant. That's why we need to be constantly engaged, if we are on a spiritual path, in physical detox, mental detox, emotional detox, and even spiritual detox from these very, you know, strange understandings of what spirituality is all about that we probably got from our teachers. Okay. So a constant purifying of our nervous system through psycho-spiritual energetics allows us to support more and more wholeness. That's the power, I think, and the mystery of the baptism in the Jordan with Jesus, where the spirit or the dove of wholeness is looking for someone in which that spirit can reside and dwell. Isn't that correct, Rina? It's looking, and that's the ancient Shekinah, Jewish mysticism, the Kabbalah, the Shekinah. The Shekinah, or spirit, is looking for a place in which to dwell. The Shekinah, or Shekinah, huh? So the ancient, the esoteric, if you will, or the hidden understanding of the baptism of the Jordan is Jesus has purified his nervous system enough for wholeness, to support wholeness in the awareness of oneness. Isn't that powerful? And you know, that's why this particular master is quite advanced. And it is my experience, unfortunately, I learned a lot of the teachings in a very, very superficial way, very controlled way, manipulated way, abusive way, disempowering of my own energies way, etc. But the essence of the teachings of the great masters stand. They are larger than we are. And we must respect them if we are to grow. The traditions of the masters stand. They are deeper than we are. And most probably deeper than we ever will be. It is getting in touch with those guides who can lead us to the deeper mysteries. That's the art. That's the struggle. That's the point. But to throw it away is like to taste soured or salted water and never want to drink water again. One last thing, if you wish to go on this practice of spiritual empowerment. Very easy, threefold process. It'll only take the rest of your life to master it. First, centering, establishing ourselves in wholeness. That's what centering is doing. We're establishing ourselves in wholeness. Two, intending the ultimate good, then releasing the intention into wholeness. Thy will be done. Two. Three, knowing that our intention will be manifested to the degree that intention blends with wholeness itself, with a capital I. Wonderful. Laya Yoga, the path of spiritual power. The path of the enlightened will.